the scriptures here in our Lord Jesus Christ, wisdom for how we are to direct and live our ways. And I am so glad we're going through Proverbs because I need all the wisdom I can get. And Patty's going to come read our scripture verse today, or scripture verses.
Before we read, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we could be here today to study your word, to get more insight on wisdom through the Proverbs. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Patty. As I've been studying the Proverbs throughout the week, I've been surprised because I didn't realize what beautiful poetry the Proverbs have. And it's really rich Hebrew poetry that is before us. And today's passage has three different stanzas, and that will be the outline for our sermon. The first one is verses 13 through 18, and I've encapsulated that with the phrase, the great value of wisdom. You know, that's where he's saying, above all else, kind of get wisdom. It's so valuable. The second stanza is verses 19 through 20, and that I've captured with the phrase, wisdom is woven into the universe. You know, it talks about God's creation, how wisdom is right there. And then the third stanza is verses 21 through 26, and that is, don't lose wisdom. It's going to keep you safe. So let's go through these stanzas. And the first one is the great value of wisdom. And if you could get one thing in life, you know, what would it be? Would it be lots of money? So a lot of people say, you know, if I get a certain net worth, that's my goal in life. That's what I want above all else, because then I can be safe, then I can be comfortable. Other people might say, my one thing is respect and admiration of others. I want people to like me. I want people to respect me, to think that I'm a worthy person. And so they chase after that. Other people would say, well, what I want out of life is a long, healthy life. I just don't want to get sick. I want to be prosperous and healthy all the time, protected from calamity. Now, as we go through that in church, our spiritual senses might be tingling a little bit, saying, those are probably not the best things to chase after in life, because we know that that's not what the church says, that chase money, chase health, chase a good reputation. And yet, are those bad things? No, not at all. Not at all. A matter of fact, if we look at each of those, you know, riches and a good honor of your name and of, you know, good health, those are what we see in the Garden of Eden, how God created this world. It talks about there in the creation how there's four rivers and they're bringing forth gold and precious gemstones, so there's great abundance of riches there. We think about the relationship between humankind and God Almighty. And humanity was in good relationship with each other and with God. So there was honor and respect amongst everyone there. We think about health. And boy, they had that. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden. Everything was good and healthy. And so as we think about some of those, what would be your one thing you're chasing in life, if it's any of those things, maybe that's not so bad. Because what you're desiring is what God created you for. And it's tapping into something that God has made you to enjoy and to want. And we see it in the Garden of Eden. We see it also in the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation, as we read about what that's going to be like, right? You know, the great riches, the streets will be paved with gold, gemstones all around. No more sickness or sorrow or death or dying will be there. We will dwell as God's people with God Almighty with nothing in between us. Relationships will be right again. And so that's what we're moving toward. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with Proverbs? And I think it has a lot to do with Proverbs. And one of the connecting points is in verse 18. And maybe you notice that there's a reference to the tree of life. The tree of life. That's only found three places in the scriptures: Genesis, Proverbs, and Revelation. And it kind of ties it together. Because what happened in the garden that we lost that paradise? We lost it because Adam and Eve decided they were going to get knowledge without God. That they were going to use their own common sense. That they're going to take what looked good to them and ignore what God said and instead find out the difference between good and evil by themselves, rejecting God's clear instructions to rely not on their own understanding, but to trust Him, to not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So paradise was lost, and humanity became wise in their own eyes, and the results were that we were barred from the tree of life. Adam and Eve and everybody since then have been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. We lost that paradise. We didn't have the tree of life, therefore we die, and we dwell under a curse of frustration, poverty, and death. That's the reality and the pain that we all know far too well. Yet, what does Proverbs say about this tree of life? Doesn't it give some hints that maybe that paradise can be regained? That maybe there's a way back to that? And that tree of life is wisdom? That if we can find wisdom, we might be able to get back to what we want, that riches and honor and good, blessed, happy life. So above all else, Solomon is saying, find wisdom. Find wisdom. That is what's worth pursuing. And if you pursue wisdom and find it, then you're going to get all this other stuff thrown in as well. If we pursue money as the goal, or honor as the goal, or health as the goal, we'll find that we won't get them. They won't satisfy. They'll keep letting us down. But Solomon knows something that we need to know, and that is the supreme value of asking and finding wisdom. Remember Solomon, I know that when we began this study, I shared this story. When Solomon was made king, God asked him that very question of, what is the one thing you want? What is one thing I can give you? And Solomon could have asked for protection from his enemies. He could have asked for a long, healthy life. He could have asked for riches, but he didn't. He asked for wisdom. He said, may I have a discerning heart to govern these people well. He asked for wisdom, and God answered that request. And threw in all the riches and health and long life too, right? He had a kingdom of peace. He had all these other things, but he didn't ask for that. He asked for wisdom. And that's what he's passing on to his son. That's what he's passing on to us. That we'll find that wisdom is the sweetness and the blessing of life that we want. So I'm hoping that this is awakening some desire in us about what's the one thing we want in life, and not to settle for secondary things, but to seek out this wisdom Proverbs talked about. So that leads us to the question, well, how can we find wisdom? How can we find this wisdom from God? How can we grab a hold of it? And so let's go on to the second stanza, verses 19 through 20. And that's that wisdom is woven into the universe. God created by his wisdom and upholds all things through his wisdom. That tree of life in verse 18 points us back to the creation of the world, right? Garden of Eden. How did God make all things? He made it by wisdom. So wisdom's woven into the fabric of all God's handiwork and into creation itself. It is by by wisdom that the earth floats in space and orbits and rotates. You know, that's not accidental. That's not just happenstance. That's God's wisdom about how he created all things. God is a supreme architect, and he made everything good and functional and for a purpose and a reason. And that's what verses 19 and 20 talk about. But he also sustains all things by his wisdom. That last phrase that he drops down the dew upon the earth is an ongoing activity of God sustaining all things by his wisdom. And indeed, we know the importance of water for life. And it's amazing how God moves water from the oceans, and then, you know, by evaporation, the water becomes not water for a little while and rises to the clouds and is moved hundreds of miles and then gently comes down to water the earth. I mean, that's God's wisdom. That's God's provision. That's God's power that he can take salt water and make it fresh water again for us. We can see God's handiwork all around us. Indeed, today's the first day of spring, and many have noted that even the seasons of the year teach us about God's wisdom. As in the winter, the plants kind of die back and go fallow for a while. And then in the spring, you know, those perennials, they pop back up to new life. And as we think about that and study that, we can see a lesson God creates about resurrection, about life beyond what looks like death. And it speaks to us about Jesus. And so all of creation is held together and sustained by God's wisdom, this wisdom that we're to be seeking. And in the New Testament, it becomes clear that it is Jesus, the wisdom of God, that is what's holding the universe together. It's Colossians 1 that says it very clearly. It says this, Colossians 1, 15 and 16. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Did you catch that? In Jesus all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That's meaning everything. All things have been created through him and for him. So it is Jesus that was there at creation. He's the wisdom of God that created all things and sustains and upholds. And all things are held together in Christ. So we can, in a way, be a bit of scientist every day and just observing nature, observing the world around us, and seeing God's handiwork in it. That's going to make us wise people, right? It's going to say things aren't just accidental, things aren't just happenstance. There's a designer and a creator behind all this that is caring for his creation. But we need a little bit more. So let's go on to verses 21 through 26. And here, I've phrased this, you know, don't lose wisdom, it will keep you safe. And that's talking about the very real fact that we live in a dangerous world. And as a parent, I think every parent wants to keep their kids safe. And Solomon was no different. He wanted his son to be safe, to be protected from the ruin that could happen all too easily all around us. So he urges his son, don't let go of wisdom. Wisdom is going to keep you safe in life. That's good. It's not the bigger car that's going to ensure that the kids are going to be okay. It's wisdom that's going to keep us safe. It's wisdom that will enable us to walk securely through life without stumbling. It's wisdom that will grant us sweet sleep. It is wisdom that will protect us from the sudden terrors of life and the ruin that overcomes the wicked. That's what verses 21 through 26 tell us. But you ask, hold up a minute. Is that the reality that we see? Don't we see wise people still stumbling? What about those believers in Ukraine right now? Terror has certainly overtaken them. And we see God-fearing people who don't sleep at night, right? Something's bothering them. Something's not allowing them to get that sweet sleep that they desire. So what happened? What happened? Where is this wisdom that's supposed to grant all these blessings? Well, wisdom's not an abstract idea. It's not just a thing or a concept. It's an expression of God himself, and that expression is made flesh in Jesus Christ. And so it is Jesus who walked among us who is the wisdom of God. And it's the wisdom of God's design of the cross in which we find God's plan and his design of all things. But I think verse 26, that very last verse of that third stanza, really connects the dots for me. It says the wisdom that will keep us blessed and safe is this. It is the Lord. He is our confidence, and He will walk with us and keep our foot from being snared. That wisdom that we need, that's going to bring us safety, that's going to give us that paradise again, it's not our smarts, it's not our looks, it's not our bank account, it's not our common sense, it's the Lord. The Lord. Our confidence isn't in us. We can't put our confidence in ourselves to get back to paradise, but when our confidence is in the Lord, He will uphold us. He will uphold us so our feet don't get ensnared. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows if they're black or they're white. He's the one that determines them. And not a hair falls from our heads without Him noticing, right? He is the one that protects us in that valley of the shadow of death. The 23rd Psalm says that even though we walk through that valley of the shadow of death, we walk through it, we will not fear, because Thou art with me. Our Lord, our Shepherd, is with us. And our confidence isn't in ourselves to get us through this valley. It's in the Lord, who is walking with us, who is all-powerful, almighty, the God of resurrection power. He doesn't leave us at the grave. He doesn't leave us when we encounter a hard situation. He doesn't leave us when our world falls apart. He goes with us through it. That's wisdom, relying on what God is, who is our confidence, who is with us, even when everything else just seems to be going awful, and indeed may be going awful. So God's wisdom is life and joy and peace. It is the sweet life we long for, and it will never leave us in Jesus Christ. We lost this good life once in the garden when we came under the curse of sin, but Proverbs hints that there's a way back to that paradise lost, and it's through wisdom. The wisdom of God is put on display in the cross of Jesus Christ, for that's God's plan. It's His wisdom to make a way for us to return to His presence, to the life of abundance and of eternal life and good, the good life, right? It was through another tree. It was through the Son of God, wisdom incarnate, dying on a tree that reversed the curse. It changed our trajectory. It brought us from a realm of death and dying to a place where we find life again, to a new tree, a tree that gives us eternal life. As we put our faith in what the Lord did for us on the cross, we are born again. That's the biblical language, right? We get new life in what was dead, and that life will be forever. It will not experience death. So therefore, we must say that Jesus is better than the riches, right? Riches can't bring us that paradise. It can't get us what we ultimately want, but Jesus is better. Riches can be stolen, lost, or ruined, but Jesus can't be lost because He's our confidence and He walks with us. Jesus is better than recognition and honor. Men's applause is fickle. They might love us one day and hate us the next, but Jesus' commendation is eternal. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. And you are my beloved child. The sweet life is a life united with Jesus. For He is altogether perfect, and in Him we find peace and rest and security. Even when the devil does a number on us, even when those terrors come, Jesus, the defeater of death, walks with us, protecting us. We need Jesus. I know He's the one thing that I desire. I think He's the one thing that you desire too. So let us be a church that savors the sweetness of our Savior, even as we walk in the sourness of life, that we have a good, faithful Savior who's our Shepherd, who will never leave us or forsake us, and we are His. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, thank You for this reminder of what really is valuable in life. Learn from Solomon's own lips, the one who You gave extraordinary wisdom to teach us about how we could desire and see our desires in light of Your word. I pray that we would, above all else, desire You. desire your presence with us through the Holy Spirit, desire an eternity with you promised to us, but also desire that comes only through the cross, a place of suffering, reproach, abandonment, sorrow, rejection, confusion, that it's only there that we see and behold God's wisdom, the foolishness of the cross has made us your children, and removed somehow from us our guilt and death, and grants us life and peace. We ask for all this in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. I invite you to take your hymnals, or you can watch on the screen.